evening. This is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Tonight we're presenting the technician class. We are already into the third week of the classes, so this is a good opportunity for you to feel comfortable with the questions and the answers. I'll be reading the preamble in a moment. Welcome to the outreach program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to obtain license status. This event will be in an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the technician class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Tuesday and at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Sunday. For those who are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to the SCARS, S-C-A-R-S, server at either EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, or ALLSTAR node 27404, letting it drop. For those who are interested in obtaining the license for the first time, please contact Mike, KD0CDQ, via email at VOIP at scarsvoip@scarsvoip.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connected into the course. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class in session, please convey your comments and suggestions to the outreach program at voip@scarsvop.com. Dropping once more, it should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing sessions on this server, please drop us an email at voip@scarsvoip.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.scarsvoip.com. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? At this point, we begin. We have two excellent instructors this evening. We'll be in the technician class area of 7 Charlie, starting around 7 Charlie. So this evening we have Gary, KC2GA, and Paul, N1SEZ, both presenting. And starting out this evening will be Gary. Gary will start with the first question, which he'll give you in a moment. Does anyone have any questions before we begin? Not hearing a peep. I'll turn it over to Gary, and Gary, take away in New York State. Over. KD0CDQ.
Hey, thank you, Mike, and hello to Gordon and to Paul and to everybody. This is KC2GA coming to you from the beautiful Outer Comstock section of Syracuse, New York. And as we all were here to talk about getting your license, and we'll get things going here with question T6B03, and it goes like this. Which of these components can be used as an electronic switch or amplifier? Now, here's your choices. A, an oscillator. B, a potentiometer. C, a transistor. Or D, a voltmeter. All right, the correct answer to this question is C, a transistor. And let me just buy a nickel and I'll explain that a little deeper. The key word here is switch, okay? When you look at a transistor, it's a improvement or a different on the technology of a vacuum tube, okay? And a vacuum tube basically functions as a switch. That's why they're called valves in some places. So a transistor functions the same way. You don't have to get really deeply into it, but it's the same idea. So to remember this question when you see it on the test, the easiest way is when you see electronic switch, just think of transistor, okay? The rest don't really have anything to do with that at all, so switch is the operative term. Okay, I'm going to throw it out and see if there's any questions or comments. This is KC2GA. All right, nothing heard, so I'm going to throw this over to my monophonic compadre, N1SEZ. Hello there, Paul, and looks like you've got the next question.
Okay, good evening, Gary, and everybody else on Selfcast. Thank you for that. N1SEZ here, coming to you from Jersey City, within sight of Manhattan Liberty. And I'm already a bit confused because my numbers were not matching up with what was showing up in the text box, which is interesting since I thought I'm the one who supplied the numbers. So I'm going to go ahead and do the question that I got, which I thought was my first question. And according to my list, it's T6 Bravo 05. And I don't know if that is an incorrect number, but it sounds like the question is in the right neighborhood and sounds amazingly similar to the one that Gary just answered. So, question is, which of the following electronic components can amplify signals? And your choices are A, transistor, B, variable resistor, C, elliptic capacitor, and D, multi-cell battery. And the answer here is A, transistor. And I'd like to remind anybody who's listening tonight that while these questions will be the same as questions presented on the test, the alpha designators will not necessarily be the same. So you want to remember the answer, not the letter. And transistors are components that are made of N and P layer patterns and can have three layers of semiconductor material. The transistor electrodes are contacts to certain piece of that pattern. And transistors use small voltages and currents to control larger ones. So with the appropriate external circuit and source of power, transistors can amplify or switch voltages and currents. So the answer is A, which of the following electronic components can amplify signals? Transistor. Okay, over to you. I guess I'll throw it over back to Mike.
Okay, we're going back over to Gary. Gary, I think you have the next question. Go right ahead, please.
All right, thanks, Mike. And I think I made a little adjustment on the microphone, so hopefully it's a little bit better level. Actually, it looks like it might be a little low, so we'll get it straightened out the next time around. The next item here that I have is T6B10. T6B10. And we're continuing along with the idea of talking about transistors here. We know there's PNP transistors. We know there's NPN transistors. But what we're talking about now are the components that make up that transistor. And the T6B10 asks, what are the three electrodes of a PNP or NPN transistor? Now, here's your choices. A, emitter, base, and collector. B, source, gate, and drain. C, cathode, grid, and plate. And D, cathode, drift cavity, and collector. Well, the answer to this is A, the emitter, base, and collector. You don't have to remember A. As a matter of fact, don't memorize any of the letters associated with the answers. Just memorize the answer. That's A, emitter, base, collector, EBC. That's really all you need to know. Again, you don't have to know the functionality of what these do right now. You just have to know that when somebody asks about the three electrodes of a PNP or NPN transistor, you think of emitter, base, and collector, a little item that might help you. They're talking about electrodes, and emitter begins with an E, so that's the first of the three that you want to think about. Okay, we'll throw it out to any questions or discussions right now. This is KC2GA. Okay, nothing heard. So we'll throw it over to N1SEZ. And Paul, you've got the next one.
Okay, Gary, thank you very much. And I've got the next two. And this question is Tango 6 Charlie 1, T6CO1. What is the name of an electrical wiring diagram that uses standard component signals? What is the name of an electrical wiring diagram that uses standard component symbols? A. Bill of materials. B. Connector pinout. C. Schematic. Or D. Flowchart. And the answer is C. A schematic. Now, you know, if you're looking at a circuit that contains more than two or three components, trying to describe it clearly in words would be a difficult task. To describe complicated circuits, engineers have developed the schematic diagram, or simply schematic. And schematics are a visual description of a circuit and its components that use standardized drawings, symbols, called circuit symbols. Any questions about that question? Okay, nothing heard with that, and we'll throw it back. We'll throw it to nobody. I'll just take it because I'm doing the next question. So I'm going to hold it. And the next question on the list here is Tango 6 Charlie 12, T612. What do the symbols on an electrical schematic represent? A. Electrical components. B. Logic states. C. Digital codes. Or D. Traffic nodes. And the answer is A. Electrical components. And that was pretty much covered in the answer to the previous question. You're representing the electrical components in circuits and how they're laid out on the electrical schematic. Now, are there any questions, comments, or concerns? Okay, thank you very much. Let's throw it back to Michael, N1SEZ.
I don't hear anything on this end either, so we're going to throw it on along here. We'll keep this ball rolling. This is KD0CDQ doing the technician classes this evening. Go right ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Mike. Now, we're talking about schematics here, and we're going to continue this discussion. We're going to go to T6C13, and that's asking us which of the following is accurately represented in electrical circuit schematic diagrams. Okay, so in other words, what's actually representative of what you're saying? And your choices are A, the wire lengths; B, physical appearance of the components; C, the way components are interconnected; and D, all of these choices are correct. Well, you certainly don't want to go for D. You know, sometimes that's like the default. I don't know, so I'm gonna jump on that. You know, but no, it's not the one. The correct answer for this is C. Okay, that is the way the components are interconnected. Now, as Paul had said, you know, we're looking at a graphical representation of a circuit. Okay, and there's nuances in there, and it's going to show you how all the individual components are connected together. Okay, so that's the accurate one. If you look at the wiring, it's not necessarily how that's going to go. You're going to follow those wire paths, and they will go from A to B, but not in the way you think sometimes. Wire lengths, nobody cares about that. That's a construction practice. So the thing is that when you look at this, if you get this question out of the exam, C is the answer. It's not going to be necessarily the correct answer on the test, okay? But when you start thinking about representation, all right, you start thinking about interconnection, okay? How are they all put together, all right? So do we have any questions or comments at this point?
Six, Victor.
Go right ahead, Gordon.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Mike, KY6V. For those, Gary, that are new to the ideas of a schematic diagram, it's my intent, and probably sometime, maybe mañana, tomorrow, I'm going to put up a couple of the schematic diagrams that are going to be used between you and, at least in the group of questions that you and Paul are using. And I'll put that up on the promo page, homepage of the website, to give everybody a chance to, that's not familiar with it, to say, hey, this is what Gary was talking about. Go ahead, Gary, KY6V.
Thank you, Gordon. Great idea. And again, I think the easiest way, if you're not used to the idea of this, is going back. I mean, this is going back to like when I was in high school. But I had an electronics instructor, and the easiest way to relate to a schematic is it's a roadmap. It's a roadmap of the circuit. So if you can read a roadmap, or if you have the idea of a roadmap in your head, it's a very easy relationship to make. But yeah, that's a great idea. Throwing some of those up there, I think, and letting people see it really will help, and they can get an idea of what we're talking about with this. But schematics are important in two levels. Okay, the first, of course, if you're going to build something, you need that roadmap of how to put it together. And the second thing is if you're going to troubleshoot something, then you need to kind of see where everything sits so that you can effectively take care of any problems that are cropping up. So, yeah, that'd be great to have that on the website, and folks can have a look at what we're talking about here. Let's take a pause for the cause here and see if there's any questions or comments to continue. All right, nothing heard, so I think we go to Paul and T6D05. Paul, take it away.
Okay, Gary, thank you very much. And I was a youngin' myself, I'd say, maybe, I don't know, 8 years old maybe, and my grandmother gave me my first transistor radio, an RCA. I imagine at the day, and back in the day, they weren't very cheap either. But it didn't take me long before I had that baby opened up, and lo and behold, on the inside, on the back, there's a little schematic diagram. That's probably the first one that I've ever seen. Anyway, I digress. The next question here is Tango 6 Delta 5, and the question reads, what type of circuit controls the amount of voltage from a power supply? What type of circuit controls the amount of voltage from a power supply? A, regulator. B, oscillator. C, filter. D, phase inverter. And it seems almost intuitive to me that the answer is A, regulator. Now, what we're talking about here is a power supply that you would use to supply DC voltage to your radio. And depending on how it is designed, as you put a load on that power supply, the output voltage that's coming from it to your radio can change. So what we have, thankfully nowadays, are regulated power supplies, where there's a regulator circuit built into the device to minimize the amount of voltage change, to provide a constant voltage. Any questions on T6D05? Okay, nothing heard, so we're just going to throw it right back to Gary direct. Gary, after you.
Thank you, good sir. I've got the next two, so you can kind of kick back for a few seconds anyway. As we continue on our list of questions for the technician exam, we're going to talk about some components here. We're referring to question T6D08, okay? The question asks us which of the following is used together with an inductor to make a tuned circuit. Okay, and your answers are A, a resistor, B, a Zener diode, C, a potentiometer, or D, a capacitor. All right. Your correct answer here is a capacitor, and that is item D, okay? This is an important concept to think about. Excuse me. It's an important concept to think about because what we're talking about here is when we take an inductor and a capacitor, we create a resonant circuit. You don't really have to, at this point, know the nuts and bolts of the whole thing, but you do need to know that so much of what we do is founded in the idea of resonance, okay? And that whole idea of a resonant circuit is that of taking a quantity and actually making it more than what it started with, all right? So you end up with a value that's greater than what you started with. And that is one of the basic fundamentals of anything to do with radio. Let me just buy a nickel here. It tunes in, okay? When you tune in a frequency, you're tuning in a resonant circuit. So think about that. So when you think about an inductor, all right, combined with a capacitor, you're thinking of resonance, okay? So the capacitor is the key, okay? That's what makes it all work. So let's see if anybody has any questions, any comments, and we'll go on to the next question. Okay, nothing there. So we're going to go on to our ninth question right now, which is T7A01. And we're asking the question, which term describes the ability of a receiver to detect the presence of a signal? Here's your choices. A, linearity. B, sensitivity. C, selectivity. Or D, total harmonic distortion. Right, your correct answer here is B. Sensitivity, the ability of a receiver to detect the presence of a signal. When you think about it, it makes sense, right? Linearity means nothing, right? Selectivity, what they're talking about with selectivity is the ability to pick two signals, if you have two signals close together, to pick one out as an individual without getting the two signals mixed together. Total harmonic distortion, again, we're not talking about an ability to detect the presence of a signal here. We're looking at another value entirely, okay? Sensitivity. It's like your sensitivity to light, a sensitivity to sound, to touch, to whatever. It's the same idea with a radio frequency. So how sensitive a receiver is how easily it detects the presence of a signal, all right? Let's, again, go to questions and comments right now. KC2GA. Okay, nothing heard. We go to N1SEZ. Paul, you've got the next one, sir.
Okay, Gary. Well, and I think I'll take the next two just so I can get this over with. Joking. But I am going to take the next two. T7 Alpha 4. T7 Alpha 4. Now, this question is sort of the flip side of the coin that Gary was just talking about. And what we're talking about here is a radio receiver, and how do we compare radio receivers and their ability to do certain things? And radio receivers are compared on the basis of two primary characteristics, sensitivity and selectivity. And Gary was just speaking about sensitivity. This question goes to the other term. Which term describes the ability of a receiver to discriminate between multiple signals? To discriminate between multiple signals. Well, the answer is C, selectivity. So you've, let me just drop it and make sure I don't get into trouble here. So again, the answer is, if you think about it, you can reason this out. You've got multiple signals that your radio, and your radio is trying to tune in on only one and not be disturbed by the other signals around it. So it's trying to be as selective as it can be. And the better the quality of the receiver, the better the design of the circuits, the more selective you're going to be able to be in picking out signals amongst a whole bunch of other signals, which is something comes in very handy in contesting. So which term describes the ability of a receiver to discriminate between multiple signals? A, discrimination ratio? No. B, sensitivity? Not really. C, selectivity is the answer. And they throw in, once again, harmonic distortion, not it. We'll just see. Any questions about that or these two questions that we just had? Okay, nothing heard. We'll move on. And the next question, which happens to be my last, Tango 7, Bravo 6. Which of the following actions should you take if a neighbor tells you that your station's transmissions are interfering with their radio or TV reception? Now, I this is something that seems to have happened a heck of a lot more in days past, though I'm sure it still does. But what of the following actions should you take if a neighbor tells you that your station's transmissions are interfering with the radio or TV reception? And the choices are A, make sure that your station is functioning properly and that it does not cause interference to your own radio or television when it is tuned to the same channel. That is the correct answer and seems incredibly logical. B, immediately turn off your transmitter and contact the nearest FCC office for assistance. Well, I'm here to tell you, you will be receiving no assistance from the FCC. C, tell them that your license gives you the right to transmit, and nothing can be done to reduce the interference. So you have an angry neighbor, they're trying to watch The Big Bang Theory, and your radio is causing interference with that, and you tell them, I've got a radio license, so tough. I would say it's pretty reasonable to say that that's not going to be the correct answer. And the last one, install a harmonic doubler on the output of your transmitter and tune it until interference is eliminated. The answer is A, make sure your station is functioning properly and that it does not cause interference to your own radio or television when it is tuned to the same channel. Any questions, comments? Okay, nothing heard. So Gary, we'll throw it over to you, and won't you take this home. Take this show home.
Hey, thank you, sir. I was just tuning up my harmonic doubler here. Let's see what we can do. Thank you, Paul. And we are at the last of my questions, too. And this is T7B09, okay? And the question is, what is a Part 15 device, okay? Here's your choices. A, an unlicensed device that may emit low-powered radio signals on frequencies used by a licensed service. B, a type of amateur radio that can legally be used in the citizen's band. C, a device for long-distance communications using special codes and sanctioned by the International Amateur Radio Union. Or D, a type of test set used to determine whether a transmitter is in compliance with FCC Regulation 91.15. Your correct answer here is A, an unlicensed device that may emit low-powered radio signals on frequencies used by a licensed service. Let me buy a nickel, and we'll go through this a little bit. Okay. In this answer, there's a couple of important concepts to remember. First is that the device is not licensed, but the operator is. Okay, you hold a license. You are responsible for the way that device works. They don't care about licensing a device. They care about you and your responsibility to following the rules and regulations that go with your license, okay? So it's important to remember that the equipment itself is not licensed, but you sure are, and you're expected to adhere to the conditions and terms of your license. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing is if you're sitting there taking the exam, and all of a sudden you go, duh, okay, which happens, okay? Remember this concept, if anything, that
when you look at a group of answers and one of them represents interference of some kind, okay, that's generally the correct answer. Usually there's just one in there that's talking about some sort of interference, okay, and that's consistent through every FCC exam you'll take. The answer that references interference is usually the one you want to choose, okay? So if you don't know the answer, if you're taking a guess, look for anything that references interference, okay? So that's number 12 and my final one, and we'll ask for any questions or any comments right now. This is KC2GA. Nothing heard, so we're going to throw this back to our MCS, and Mike, take it away, sir.
Very well done. There are, was very interesting this evening. I was following it along. I was looking at the list for, I think, for Tuesday. That's why I was coming up with the wrong test questions. Now, this people may be using this in the future because it's going to be on the net. People can pick it up and study from it. But sometimes people have questions. Now, what are they going to do if they have a question and they're looking at the computer and the computer doesn't speak back? I'll tell you what. They can get in touch. They can get in touch with us. Now I'm going to give you the address. If you have any questions that you want answered more specifically or further along, you can contact VOIP at SCARS VOIP, that's SCARSVOIP.com. So VOIP at SCARSVOIP.com. If you need any in-depth answering or something's not quite clear to you, remember we're always here, not physically, but electronically to help you. I don't think there's any more questions. Am I proper on this? Is there another question coming up, or is that the last one? Over.
That's it for me, Mike.
Okay, Gary and Paul. That was very clear, very well done this evening. The voices were nice and stable, and everything has been recorded. Does anybody have any last-minute statements they wish to make while the recording is still going to help with the students and their taking of the exam? This is KD0CDQ. Throwing it back to, well, KC2GA. Let's start there. Gary, anything you want to add? Over.
Well, I think just to give you a nickel's worth of free advice, like Mr. Strickland would say, for folks, just getting into this, it's probably a very foreign world. And you're probably saying, why am I bothering to do this? but really, hang in there with it, because this is probably one of the most rewarding hobbies that you can possibly get yourself involved with. And I've been doing this now. Well, I've been playing around with it since I was 12 years old, but I've actually been licensed now for like 12 years. But you learn something new every day, and it's always a lot of fun. So there's just so much to get involved with. So at this level, just coming into things, you don't have to be really immersed in theory beyond, say, Ohm's Law, which is, everybody can get that. And you don't even need to know it in depth. You can just remember the formulas and how to work them. You don't have to go much further than that. So you don't have to get, your feet really wet in here. This test can be mastered, and it can be something that you can get behind you, and you can move on to your general pretty easily. General's a little more complicated, but it's all built on what we've been talking about tonight. So my advice is hang in there, ask tons of questions. Remember, there's no such thing as a stupid question, unless, like, I ask it. But it's like, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And get it into your head that this is a lifelong learning experience. And you'll feel a lot more comfortable. And I'll tell you one thing about radio amateurs. It's rare that you'll find somebody who doesn't want to help you out, but willingly, and probably to the point of driving you nuts. So it's that type of a community. So don't be afraid to ask. Okay, that's what I've got right now. We'll go back to Mike, KC2GA.
N070 comment.
Again, this is KD0, CDQ, KC2GA. Thank you. Everything you said was very true, very acceptable, very understanding. I agree with you on all of that. Let's see if Paul can throw some more screws into this and see what else we can get here. So N1SEZ, back to the Atlantic coastline. Back to you. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Well, just to add a little bit to what Gary said, anybody should be able to pass this test. It may be something like you've never seen before. You just need to do some studying and stick to it. And you end up getting your foot in the door into a hobby that, as Gary said, is not only incredibly rewarding, but amazingly versatile. There are just so many different areas and places you can go and things that you can do, different types of radio operating, that you're going to find something that you really love. It'd be hard to imagine. And it may not be exactly what you think it is you're interested in when you're getting into the hobby to begin with. And you're never going to get tired of it, because if you get bored with what you're doing, there's so many other things that you can do with it. So it's just a great thing to do. And you have to put in a little work, but it's worth it, totally worth it. And that's all I've got there, Mike, other than say thank you, Gary, and we both are looking forward to the pleasure of doing this again on Tuesday night. And thank you, Mike, and everybody else who's here tonight on South Cars. Thank you for everything. N1SEZ, we'll throw it back to you, Michael.
Thank you, Paul. Gary and Paul, both of you had very good advice. As far as this hobby is like fingers and toes. You don't know which way you're going to go. Just today, I worked a bicycling event that took people over 100 miles, and I'm just a radio operator. I'm just transporting people that need help. But we are a vital part. We're a vital part of charity raising, in this case, money raising for charities. Somebody's got to keep this thing together, and radio operation is the best way to do it, because we can be on the spot, we communicate with each other, we understand each other, and the thing is the fellowship. The young men and women that you will meet, and older ones too, the folks that you will meet out there on the road that are ham radio operators, everyone's out there to help. And one nugget that I heard there, don't be afraid to ask questions. I couldn't tell you how many times I've asked a question, and the next time I saw the person, they had a little gadget in their hand or a connector. And they said, Mike, this is what you're talking about. This is what you need. And they hand it to me. And I look at them, what? They'll actually build a connector for me, or they'll buy a part themselves with their own money, or go into their tool bag and bring me a part and give me the part that I was kind of trying to describe, and hand it to you. It's a great bunch of people that are ham operators, and there's a lot of things we can do, including emergency services, as well as just working charity events, or parking cars in a parking lot at a state fair, something like that. There's so many things you can do in radio that seems like it's off on the side, but it's not. It's what the public sees. Letting it drop. This is KD0CDQ. Yes, it is exciting. And again, we'll be back here Tuesday evening at the same time, same station, with some more questions and answers for you. And we try to make the answer simple. So maybe because we try to be simple. But that's all I've got for this evening. I don't know if Gordon has something to add, GY6V. If you have something to add, please go ahead right now. I still have the recording going, but I can cut it off at any time. KD0CDQ in sunny Kansas. Back to y'all. Over.
Well, thank you, Mike. KY6V here. Incidentally, George was trying to get your attention also, Mike. N070 had a comment to make. I want to thank you and Gary and Paul for a grand job this morning, or this evening, and I think the advice here that was parlayed was just absolutely superb. want everybody listening and the students to realize that you are now 62.5% completed with the course. By the time we get through with the class with Paul and Gary Tuesday night, you will be at 75%. So we're marching on with gusto. You might want to explain, Mike, before you close, that the exam, although we're going through 400 and plus questions here to get you ready, the exam's only going to be 35. There'll only be 35 questions on your exam, and you have to get about 26 of that 35 correct in order to pass. So there's something like, what, 9 or so questions that you can goof up, mess, not answer at all, throw out the window, and still get your exam passed. So go for it. Thank you, Mike. Don't forget George up there in Maryland. KY6V, over.
Okay, I've got the recording off. So, George, up there in Maryland, I'm listening to you. Go right ahead, please, George. I didn't see anything in the text box. I guess I missed it. Go ahead, George. I'm listening. Over.
Well, thank you, Michael. Katie is here at CDQ and the technician class NO70. Well, yes, the FCC exam is the goal. Some students may be a little uncomfortable with the fact that they don't see tests from us along the way. One of the ways to study might be if you want to have some type of testing or self-evaluation is to use flashcards and each day select no 10 questions to take with you and then give yourself an exam that day. See how you do, and put the test cards aside that you didn't get right, and then mix those up with some other cards the next day, and just keep testing yourself each day, and that is just like you might with any other subject, and that might be a good way to have some good test preparation or feel like that you are getting a good test from the material that the classes are covering here. Just a thought here that might be helpful for those who do like to have testing evaluation along the way. So that's my comment. Thank you so much, Michael. That's just my personal recommendation. KD0CDQ and the technician class, NR70, over.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you very much, George, for that. And also, remember, our brains are smarter than we are. That's what I have learned. Whenever I'm studying a text, I look at it, and I don't realize my brain is recording it. When you get that test paper in front of you, and you get your moment to look down at the front page of it, you're going to see the answers. Your brain is going to see the answers. Don't confuse yourself. If you see an answer, that's it. Don't be trying to change it. Don't be trying to start doing logic inside your other part of you, trying to figure, well, that can't be it. It's too simple. That's too simple. That's not that it's too simple. It's because if you study these questions and get them into your brain will see the answer. It doesn't care what letter it is, A, B, C, D, but it will see the answer. And when your brain sees the answer, give that one strong consideration because your brain knows more than we do, if you can understand what I'm saying. Also, another point about with these exams is that don't overthink it. Don't get yourself in a heavy... You'll feel yourself perspiring. You'll be sweating a little bit. But don't get overcome, and don't worry. If there's somebody in that room and they finish that test and you're still only halfway through, don't be... don't get agitated or get scared. Some people are just fast at this, and they can turn that paper in. If it takes you a little longer, it takes you a little longer. There's no rush. There's no time. But the main thing is trust your brain. Your brain, if you study, it will see the answer. Just believe that, no matter what subject you're into. It's really uncanny, is it not? This is KD0CDQ. If anyone else has any comments, because we're still under the hour. We haven't put an hour into this as yet. But again, Tuesday night, same time, which is 2300 Zulu, 0700 on the East Coast. It's 0600 here in the Midwest. See, I still got bright sunshine out there. But we mostly have sunshine here in Kansas. I don't know what the story is. We don't get many clouds. But when we do, they leak heavily and then they go away. This is KD0CDQ. Back to anyone that has any comments. The recording is off. Over.
W4RFJ has a comment.
Chief of the boat. Chief of the boat. You got the deck. Go ahead.
Well, I don't do chief of boats. Boats sink on purpose. But anyway, thank you, Mike. Good evening, everybody. Sorry I haven't been very active this weekend, but didn't want to miss the class. And I think the instructor's got an A+, both of them. Anyway, just wanted to say hello. W4RFJ.
Well, hello to you, Chief, and thank you. I saw your name up there. You know, I'm an ex-Navy man, so every time I see Chief, I have a respect for that. My grandkids don't have respect for many things, but I think we older people do. This is KD0CDQ. I'm going to sign out here with everybody. Have a good week. Be safe and enjoy every moment because that's all we have. This is KD0CDQ saying God bless and out.